Friends, grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So from the very beginning of when God started gathering the promised people, the chosen people in the wilderness, they had carried this tabernacle with them. This tabernacle that for them symbolized, that actually held the very presence of God. It was made with gold and silver and brass and fur and all kinds of other valuable materials that they had taken out with them out of Egypt. And it was carried all through the wilderness as they journeyed around the wilderness by the Hebrews everywhere they went for some 500 years until King Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem. And there, as I said, everywhere it went, it symbolized, it held God's presence for them. The whole first half of today's reading from Hebrews talks about that tabernacle of worship, how it was set up, what it should look like. And it might sound pretty detailed. It's funny because the writer says, of this we can't talk about in detail right now. It sounds pretty detailed, but if you want a detailed account, go read Leviticus, and somewhere between chapters 16 and 24, you will get a detailed account of every little thing and the way it should be set up, the way it should look, and the way people should surround that presence and be part of it. Now, you can almost imagine, if you can, you know, hopefully you can hear that in this reading and in the words. This whole tabernacle thing was divided up roughly into three different sections, sort of as a movement, as to symbolize this movement of the people towards the presence of God. And I'm going to move around a little bit just to sort of help us understand sort of what that looked like. First of all, outside of the tabernacle was this first section, and there's this outer courtyard. This is where all the people stood and waited, and this is where all the people would bring their sacrifices. There they would offer them, give them over to the priests, and the priests would burn the sacrifices as a way of the people's commitment, of them showing their sign of commitment to God. And then, and here we have, I have a little bit of a picture up on the screen, and you can see it. It's really kind of small, but it's a cross-section of what the tabernacle, and then afterwards the temple that was built, what it would look like. And you can see in that right section, it's a little play figure. That's a priest standing there. Like I said, I know it's kind of hard to see, but there, then you would go out, and the priest would go in. It said the priest would go in and come out all day long, all time, doing the priest's business. And they would go into the first tent, and there it was called the holy place. And as you stepped into the holy place, you would see the lampstand, sort of symbolized here by our candles, the candles that remind us of the light of God, and for us as Christians, Christ's light. You'd see a lampstand, and you would see a golden table, and on that golden table were two stacks of six loaves of bread each, called the show bread, and there that bread was made every Sabbath and placed on the table as, again, a sacrifice, as an offering to God. And there in that, that's kind of the larger section on the right. Again, many more details about this in Leviticus if you want. But that place was called the holy place. And then, finally, there was a thick curtain that separated the third part of the tabernacle. And this third section was called the Holy of Holies, along with other very important things there in the Holy of Holies, like they had the remnants of the manna that had fed the people in the wilderness and the tablets that had the Ten Commandments inscribed. This is where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, which was believed to contain the very presence of God. And no one could go back there into the Holy of Holies because it was so holy, except on one day of the year, which was called Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the holiest day of the Jewish faith. And on that one day, only one person, the high priest, could go back there to offer a sacrifice for himself, for his family, for all the people of God, as a repentance of sins. This is where the holiness of God is. Anyone see a problem with this? For one, God's presence was kept hidden, or so it could be understood. Locked up in a box, behind a curtain, where only one person could go one day of the year. And there's even a legend, though it is just a legend, that, you know, no source confirms that it's any more than legend, but that when the high priest would go back there in the Holy of Holies, he would tie a rope around his ankle or around his waist, just in case, you know, the holiness of God is so majestic and so great that there might be a chance that the high priest would just drop dead. And so then they had the rope tied around him. They could drag him out because nobody else can go back there, right? So they would drag the priest out. But when God's presence is hidden, when no one can be in God's presence, what does that say about the relationship between God and people? To me, it says that there is a barrier between that relationship. Can you imagine if I were to stay behind that door and talk to you the entire time from behind the door? It would really change our relationship. It would change the way that I talk and the way we interact in this time. It's sort of also like if you know, not that any of you would ever, but I know, you know, I've gotten into an argument with someone I love, someone I really care about, someone who's really close to me. And instead of working through that argument, you slam the door and you'll walk out. Now, I know that some of you will say, and I get it, I'll do this too. Sometimes you need that time and that space, right? You need to calm down before you come back in to discuss this argument, to cool down and to be reasonable and rational. I get that. But what we're talking about here is what happens to the relationship if the door never opens again. If the barrier stays shut, how can the relationship continue? How can it go anywhere if that door stays shut or if a barrier remains there? Well, after describing the tabernacle and this huge space and the separation that's between the people and the presence of God, Hebrews says this in verses 8 and 9. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the sanctuary has not yet been disclosed as long as the first tent is standing. This is a symbol of the present time during which gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper. So you can offer whatever gifts. You can offer whatever sacrifices to God, and God will be pleased with those. But they will not, and they cannot bring you into God's presence. And if God's presence is about holiness and about righteousness and about healing and being whole, then what does that say about that for us? It says that there might not be any of that for you, or at least not an assurance of it. As long as there is that great separation, that closed door, that thick curtain, the conscience, the heart, the spirit of anyone who would follow God through the wilderness is burdened. The conscience and the heart and the spirit of anyone who may want to follow God through the reality of our own pain, our suffering, our loneliness, our grief, all of that cannot be unburdened. Joy. Right? Sometimes our relationships might feel like this. Sometimes we might feel like there is nothing you can do to unburden your conscience. Sometimes you might feel so angry or hurt or resentful with someone else that you just can't bring yourself to open that door to the relationship again. Or maybe you just don't know how. You don't know how to take that first step to humble yourself or to say, you know, hey, I think they were wrong, but this is the right thing to do. Or maybe Maybe we're afraid sometimes to do it. Sometimes we need a mediator to help us with that, to help us to heal our broken relationships. Sometimes we do this, right? We might ask a friend to help us out, even whether it's to go and heal that relationship, or maybe it's just a friend to talk through this. It might be a professional counselor. It might be a pastor. Sometimes we need a mediator to heal relationships, to open that closed door. See, the closed door is the way of people. Whether we would like to admit it or not, this is something that we do. But this is not God's way. And God shows this by sending a mediator, a great high priest who operates differently than any human, that operates differently than any of the high priests before him. And Hebrews says this in verses 11 and 12. But when Christ came as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once and for all into the holy place, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. See, God does not want to be separated from us. God wants that door to be opened. God wants every obstacle to be taken away. God wants that temple curtain not to be there. It is God then, so is God who sends the Jesus as a mediator to show God's love that will overcome every barrier. At Jesus' death, three of the Gospels talk about this. Three of the Gospel accounts say that at Jesus' death, that temple curtain that separates the holy place and the Holy of Holies is torn in two. The death of Jesus, see, changes the entire human relationship with God, because God shows the extent of love. That love that will go beyond any barrier, even the barriers of suffering and death, to be available to all people. Where it once was believed that only the high priest could go into this hidden and secret place to be in God's presence, where sin once closed off relationship between humanity and God, that temple curtain is torn in two. The Holy of Holies is broken wide open, and you are invited in. And better yet, that temple curtain is torn in two. The God of the Holy of Holies is on the loose. God is on the loose. God no longer resides in a tent or a tabernacle or a box or a temple or just any one space. God is on the loose, and God is taking up residence in you and in me. Through Jesus, God sees each one of us for who we are. God knows us fully and still believes that we are worthy to be holy. And not only that, God believes that then we have the capacity to go and to show others what this holiness is about. That the fleshly tents that we abide in are valuable and holy tabernacles of God. Paul talks in his letters to the Corinthians about that, the fleshly tent that we have, the tabernacle that we have, and that though it will not last forever, we have a home with God that is not made of human hands, but that will last forever. And so we hear this good news that when God chooses to abide with us, God is saying that we are holy. Not because of anything we have done, not because of any sacrifice we could give, but because we belong to God. And because there is no separation between us out here and the Holy of Holies back behind a curtain or a wall. And so if we are holy, So is every other sanctuary where we might experience God's presence. This sanctuary, of course, but it's not limited to this. The rest of our building, or your homes, or your bodies, or your lives, or wherever you may go, are places of holiness, where God promises to be with us, to take up residence, to show us the way of holiness. So I leave you with that to think about through this week. What would that look like if we continue to be thinking about all our bodies, our lives, our places as places of holiness? The Holy of Holies. What would it look like, since God invited us into holiness, if we were to offer those places and those times in our lives to others who may need to know and to experience holiness? For the love of God, don't ever forget this or take it lightly. Because when we share our lives, when we share our houses, when we share our church buildings, what we are doing is nothing less than holy. Because we're opening up the Holy of Holies. We are tearing open the temple curtain. We are opening Christ's body to the world. And we are saying and showing that God is on the loose. Thanks be to God. Amen.